We went into the dining room. I took up the brandy bottle and poured Brett a drink and one for myself. There was a ring at the bell pull. I went to the door, and there was the Count. Behind him was the chauffeur carrying a basket of champagne.
"Where should I have him put it, sir?" asked the Count.
"In the kitchen," Brett said.
"Put it in there, Henry," the Count motioned. "Now go down and get the ice."
He stood looking after the basket inside the kitchen door.
"I think you'll find that's a very good wine," he said. "I know we don't get much of a chance to judge good wine in the States now, but I get this from a friend of mine that's in the business."
"Oh, you always have someone in the trade," Brett said.
"This fellow raises grapes. He's got thousands of acres of them."
"What's his name?" asked Brett. "Veuve Clicquot?"
"No," said the Count. "Mums, he's the Baron."
"Isn't it wonderful," said Brett, "we all have titles. Why haven't you a title, Jake?"
"I assure you, sir,"
the Count put his hand on my arm,
"it never does a man any good. Most of the time it costs you money."
"Oh, I don't know. It's damned useful sometimes," Brett said.
"I've never known it to do me any good."
"You haven't used it properly. I've had hell's own amount of credit on mine."
"Do sit down, Count," I said. "Let me take that stick." The Count was looking at Brett across the table under the gaslight. She was smoking a cigarette and flicking the ashes on the rug. She saw me notice it.
"I say, Jake, I don't want to ruin your rugs. Can't you give a chap an ashtray?"
I found some ashtrays and spread them around. The chauffeur came up with a bucket full of salted ice.
"Put two bottles in it, Henry," the Count called. "Anything else, sir?" "No, wait down in the car."
He turned to Brett and to me.
"We'll want to ride out to the Bois for dinner."
"If you like," Brett said. "I couldn't eat a thing."
"I always like a good meal," said the Count.
"Should I bring the wine in, sir?" asked the chauffeur.
"Yes, bring it in, Henry," said the Count.
He took out a heavy pigskin cigar case and offered it to me.
"Like to try a real American cigar?"
"Thanks," I said. "I'll finish the cigarette." He cut off the end of his cigar with a gold cutter he wore on one end of his watch chain.
"I like a cigar to really draw," said the Count. "Have the cigars you smoke, don't draw."
He lit the cigar, puffed at it, looked across the table at Brett.
"And when you're divorced, Lady Ashley, then you won't have a title."
"No, what a pity."
"No," said the Count, "you don't need a title. You've got class all over you."
"Thanks, awfully decent of you."
"I'm not joking, you." The Count blew a cloud of smoke. "You got the most class of anybody I ever seen. You got it, that's all."
"Nice of you," said Brett. "Mommy would be pleased. Couldn't you write it out and I'll send it in a letter to her?"
"I'll tell her too," said the Count. "I'm not joking, you. I never joke people. Joke people and you make enemies. That's what I always say."
"You're right," Brett said. "You're terribly right. I always joke people, and I haven't a friend in the world. Except Jake here."
"You don't joke him?"
"That's it."
"Do you now?" asked the Count. "Do you joke him?"
Brett looked at me and wrinkled up the corners of her eyes. "No," she said. "I wouldn't joke him."
"See," said the Count. "You don't joke him."